We just finished the review of God's feast days. Through God's holy day plan, he shares his vision of what the future holds for us and all mankind. So encouraging, such a wonderful reminder. Every year he shares that vision that he has. It is so easy to get our minds off of that perfect future that we all look forward to, especially this year, with so many trials and tribulations hitting in our area. Satan seems to be on the loose more than ever. Maybe it's getting ready for end time events closer. We always pray and look forward to when those fully come and ultimately for that seventh trump to sound. It seems like this area has been through a lot, and it's still going through a lot. As it felt like we are going through tribulation. Today we're going to be reminded as we go through tribulation where our focus must be. The title of this sermon, Comfort Through Tribulation. Comfort Through Tribulation. Turn over to Acts chapter 7. We'll begin. Acts chapter 7. In Stephen's wonderful sermon, we went through this a year or two ago. Could have been 10 years, you know, my memory at times. Feels like it wasn't that long ago. Feels like in the past couple years. It was a fun study looking at all that he preached. And in the midst of this, Acts chapter 7, and verse 9 will begin. And the patriarchs became envious, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. This word troubles is also translated tribulations. That's mentioned here. We see it mentioned in verse 11 as well. And we think of all that Joseph went through. He kept standing up for God's ways. And he still had things to learn going through it. But not sleeping with Potiphar's wife. And where does he get? He gets put in prison. He keeps going through tribulation and troubles, and yet God was with him every step of the way, because Joseph kept following God. We think here in verse 11, even as he's now number two under Pharaoh, now a famine and great trouble, same phrase that's used, this one now has great trouble, came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and our fathers found no sustenance. There was a famine for 7 years, but God gave the warning through Joseph, through the dream, that there'd be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And God gave the blessing through Joseph to take care of his people. His people came into Egypt and all that went with it, but there was great trouble. Why wouldn't God just, you know, provide food for Jacob and his family? Why would he have to make him move into Egypt? Again, God's plan is perfect, and he set it up perfectly. Why would Joseph have to be sold into Egypt? Why can't he just have a happy life with his family? And yet God set things perfectly in order. He had a purpose. He had something Joseph needed to learn to go through it. We think of that reminder, this troubles, or in great troubles that's used here, this word for tribulation. This word for tribulation is Strong's number 2347. We see it in many places in the New Testament. The word means tribulation, trouble, or affliction. Trouble or affliction. Tribulation. We think of Joseph went through troubles, but I love how it says, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom. Joseph was following God and trying to strive to live by every word of God. God was with him every step of the way, even through his troubles, even towards the end of his, after his father died and they're going through in Egypt and his brothers, oh, this is the time Joseph's going to finally get even with this. Joseph understood what God's purpose was. He makes a statement, you don't have to turn over there, Genesis 50, verse 20. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. To save many people alive. Joseph understood God's purpose and that he used him. Joseph had to keep following and keep enduring to the end. God's plan was evident in his life. He saw it especially later on, and that comfort of that hope was there. We see also in Acts chapter 11, several places in God's church where this affliction, when you think of this awesome sermon given by Stephen, and he dies. Well, he just shouldn't have been so upsetting. He should have just said peaceful words and not stirred things up. No, God gave him the words to give in his sermon, but at the end, he gets stoned to death for it. Would it have been a time to, well, you know, I'd rather not show up to that service because maybe they'd stone me too. I don't want to have to hear that. It's not worth dying for it. Yet another reason we look forward to him being resurrected as well. But a wonderful sermon that he gives. And we see it still resonating through into chapter 11 of Acts, verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. Think of this scattering after the persecution. God's people scattered and being sent. Why? Why not just stay under the cover? You believe Christ, but don't start preaching it. Don't start proclaiming what God's plan is, and definitely don't tell people to repent. That means we've got to keep God's laws. We've got to repent. No, you're good enough the way you are. Let's just give smooth words and no one will die. We'll be fine. Think of this attitude that here could have been there and maybe was for some. Well, you know, I'd like to join the church, but if it means I have to die for God's ways, that's not for me. We think of this attitude that's here, this scattering after the persecution. Verse 20, but some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. Here the Gentiles, possibly the Hellenists being Greek-speaking Jews, this preaching, simply in the Greek here in verse 20, means to speak, to talk. Word and definition in Thayer's, it means in order to declare one's mind and disclose one's thoughts. You think as they moved to different areas and being scattered out of Jerusalem, basically fleeing for their lives so they wouldn't get thrown into prison or worse, and being moving into different areas and people, well, why are you moving here? What brought you here? You know, Jesus Christ is truth, and what the truth was, something that they shared. Stephen was stoned, going through all that he went through, and then the church scattering. Saul at that time, still persecuting and going after the church. God used it for good. But it's interesting when you think, when they were going to areas and maybe talking to neighbors, you know, why are you being persecuted? Think, what would you say? The heart and core of why they were persecuted, because they were reminding people that only through Jesus Christ's sacrifice can your sins be forgiven. You have to repent. And it's through that Christ's sacrifice, and only through his sacrifice, that your sins can be forgiven. Be persecuted for that? Would it really be worth it? Would if you want God's kingdom? We think of that future and what that hope was that they continue to point to. We see into verse 21, the results, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And the Father calls, John 6:44, the hand of the Lord was with them. Think of the reminder, God has to call and open the minds. Got to still be willing to, well, here's what we went through this feast. We come back. Well, why did you ever go? Why didn't you just stay home? Because God said to keep the feast. And there was those who couldn't because they had COVID and they had to stay home. They longed to be at the next feast. But that reminder, no, we're going to follow God no matter what. How important that is. We see in chapter 14 of Acts. Another one here that reminds us. Acts chapter 14. Begin in verse 19. Sometimes we think we have it tough. You think, all right, you do this. I do the circuit every Sabbath. I haven't gone through anything like this. Hope I don't, but see what God has planned. Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, having persuaded the multitudes. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. There's so many details I want filled in here. What was that like? They stand around and he just pops up and good to go. Did the bruises, deep bruises from the stone, just heal instantly? Did he still suffer with some of them for a while? It's interesting. Paul doesn't wake up and, well, you know, this is a good time. Maybe God's telling me I need to quit doing this. This isn't good for my health. He continues to preach the gospel, what God called him to do. Paul's another, just I can hardly wait to meet him. What that excitement and that zeal and passion for God's ways. It leads into verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. You know, it's an easy statement to say, but they saw Paul, and if he still had the bruises from stones being stoned, they saw he's still at it. And maybe in the back of their mind, would I still be at it? We think of this exhortation, this encouragement, to keep in the faith, continue in the faith. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. There'll be many tribulations. We think of that reminder that, again, goes through how important continuing in the faith is. That example of tribulation that's here, and they saw Paul and what he went through, getting stoned for preaching, and realizing, we can do it. We can do it. We can keep at it. We've just got to keep enduring to the end. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Went through this on trumpets and leading into trumpets, all holy days. Matthew chapter 24. In verse 9, the first four seals are covered from verses 4 through verse 8. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. See the fifth seals, it begins to go through in verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Think of this reminder of tribulation here, and even coming from within the church. See that reminder of continuing to endure to the end, even when close friends, family members turn us in, and we try to follow God's way and keep pointing to God. No, we're not getting the mark of the beast, and we will continue to endure to the end. This reminder here that there will be tribulation. And Christ doesn't pull punches either. He says, they hated me. If they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Trying to follow his perfect example. We see tribulation mentioned here, verse 21. Three times in this chapter, second one here in verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. See as well, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, here we get in then to the sixth seal, sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of this heavens will be shaken. You see a timestamp of tribulation that's mentioned three times, and the second one being great tribulation that will occur. We think of those end time events and what takes place, but we keep looking beyond them, knowing what our future holds. You see as well in Matthew 13, because we're reminded of this importance as Joseph was sold out by his brothers. He didn't become bitter we see in time is, oh, God used it for good. Matthew 13. I wonder if this has any correlations with the verses we read in Matthew 24 of the tribulation, what will take place in this parable of the sower. See in Matthew 13 and the explanation. And the group that will stay faithful for a little while is mentioned specifically here in verse 21. Yet, well, let's read verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Coming to services, excited, wants God's truth. Yet he has no root in himself. No Bible study, no digging into the truth. It's just, well, nice people here at church. I'll just follow along. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Think of this, no root, no depth in God's word, his truth. No, what? Why we believe these things? What our future holds? It's not just, oh, we came back from the Feast of Tabernacles. We hopefully came back with a notebook full of notes. For those that stayed home, I know that we're feeling well enough at least to hook up for a while. We're still taking notes and learning. We think of that depth in God's word. We don't have a depth in God's word and his hope. We start to fall away. There's no root grounding us into what that perfect foundation is and reminding us we'll do this very end. We'll persevere to the very end with God's help. We think of tribulation that will occur. Be not too uplifting at this point as we look at tribulation after tribulation, knowing what our future holds. Turn over to John chapter 13 or 16. John 16, verses I sent out, pastor's letter yesterday, Mr. Bradford mentioned this one at the beginning of his Last Great Day sermon, among a few others of good reminders, and it was fun digging into them, thinking about them, meditating on them. John 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know those verses we turn to often, because usually they're in my sermon notes, and they're in mine today. We'll see if we get there, but Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 2 remind us of our perfect example, who ran the race perfectly. It's not just, oh, you know, those are nice little sayings. The reminder, what was this like? This is within hours of him being betrayed and going through a crucifixion. And we've gone through sermons going through chapter 14 through 17, some of the most encouraging verses in the Bible of Jesus Christ, hours before he's going to be betrayed, and he knows what the things he'll have to go through are. And he is worried and encouraged, not worried, but he's encouraging the disciples and us, keep at it. Don't give up. We think of that reminder to be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's interesting when you look at Jesus Christ as that perfect servant. I think it was mentioned during the feast, Isaiah 42, verse 1. But it's interesting in Isaiah 42, 1, it says, my servant. Jesus Christ knew who he was serving. Why, it's an interesting study, if you've never done it, to look at John 14 through 17, and over 51 references to the Father, and some of Christ's last messages that he gives before being betrayed. Over 51 references, just to the Father, my Father, doesn't even include the times where he'll refer to him as he, referencing his Father. But over 51 references, he knew who he was serving. He knew where the encouragement came from. Some of these, the last words he'd say before he prays in chapter 17, this reminder, verse 33, that in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation. This is still Satan's world, and tribulation is all around us. Knowing what we look forward to, well, we can't hardly wait for those events to take place, longing for God's kingdom to be on this earth, events that will take place even after the last great day. This word again for tribulation. In the world you have tribulation. It's the same word that we looked at earlier. This trouble. In the world you're going to have trouble. You're going to have affliction. But be of good cheer. Quite a statement that's made. Because as we know, Christ, moments away, hours away, would have all of his disciples leave. They would all flee. And yet he still gives them this encouragement. We see earlier in this section, verse 25, still here in John 16, verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father." You think of that time, we have God's word. It's plainly written to those he's calling. See how many times the Father is mentioned, how Christ talks about it, even after his resurrection. My Father is your Father. My God is your God. Some of the most encouraging verses in that plainness that was there afterwards. Verse 26, "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said to him, "See, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" Christ knew what was going to happen, why he repeats it. Do you really believe? Peter earlier, "I'll never forsake you. I'll never deny you. I'll die with you." He would deny him three times later that evening. He says, "Do you now believe?" Verse 32, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Christ knew they were all going to flee, every single one of them. Put in your notes Mark 14, verse 50, that mentions that, and Mark's account mentions it as well. They all forsook him and fled. And yet Christ didn't get down about it. He's like, "But I'm not alone. Father's with me. He's going to be with me every step of the way." Why then he can say that in verse 33, but remembering as he's saying this, he's talking to individuals he knows is going to run away within hours, moments. Verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace." Even as they would probably look back and say, "Why did I run?" Many times you probably think about that through the years. "Oh, I didn't stand up." Says, "You will have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Cheer up. Know what the future holds. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Start to look at Christ overcoming and how much that encouragement is. The first of the first fruits, the Son of God, have the perfect example. Why it's always good, I try to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, especially before Passover. Here there's almost 7 months until Passover comes. Gives us a little more time to really dig in, to learn from the first of the first fruits. How did he do it? Where did he keep pointing? We think of that encouragement that's there. And we think of that love that is there. As he even refers to it in verse 27, that Christ had the love. We see the Father did as well, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. Of the family. Why, when we have funerals and difficulties, our heart just aches for those going through it. Family, we care for each other. Here Jesus Christ is about to go through a crucifixion, and he continues to give encouragement, continues to point to God and his plan and his tremendous love for us. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3, one of the only benefits of having the webcast from my home. I can stay up a little later and hear Mr. Bradford's sermon in Australia. He was going through 1 John. Already verses that were in my notes, but I love hearing them. 1 John 3, verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Talking of Jesus Christ, giving us that example and encouragement. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? We look for needs to care. It also means, you know, other brethren, that they're trying to do their part. I've seen so many signs, anyone looking for a job, there's almost every single business I go across, it says, we're looking for help, looking for someone to hire. Jobs are out there now. Now there's many that don't want to get a job. Well, you know, I get more money if I just stay home and do nothing. But that's not what God's called us to do. We're to work. We're to earn our keep. Think of the so many verses that, again, mention that. There are times when brethren hit hardship and go through difficulty to help. Look for ways to help them, to be there for them. Think of even more important in a family. Caring for those in your family, not neglecting them. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, not just love, which is all the world says, just love, but they have no idea what it is. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Putting it into action. Be dropping down to chapter 7. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that he might live through him. In this is love, and the Father sent his only begotten Son. Son was the willing sacrifice. Think of what the Father gave up. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atonement for our sins. Knowing he wanted a bigger family, he wants all those to repent and to come to him. And it's only through Christ's sacrifice that our sins can be forgiven. Beloved, verse 11, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And it isn't always easy. Times, well, you know, why don't they take care of themselves? Why don't you do this? And it's like, but are we looking out for each other? Are we helping? Are we serving? We think of that care and concern that should be there. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. And his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he is God. And we have known and believed the love that the Father has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. A reminder, as we think of comfort through tribulation, Christ said you're going to have tribulation in the world. But to remember the love that the Father has and the Son. Father giving up his Son to sacrifice, the Son being the willing sacrifice. Their love that we see in other places before the foundation of the world. While we were still sinners. And that reminder of what that hope holds. Family that truly cares. the Father and the Son. So much there. And yes, it leads to that reminder, chapter 5, verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Think of that family love, family law, live perfectly by God's ways, how love is truly shown. You can put a bookmark here. I'll be back here one more time before the end of the sermon. Romans chapter 5. Another reminder of God's love. We think of comfort. When you think of being comforted by God's word, the reminders of his love for us, it's not allowing tribulation like Job to, well, you know, I just hate Job and who cares if he learns or not. Think of the genuine love and care and concern for Job and Satan going after him and God being with him every step of the way through his tribulations. Learn to grow, to develop that godly character. God still having that love and care as we go through tribulations. Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, praise in due time at the right time, perfectly timed by God, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think of that appreciation. Have we expressed appreciation for that? Think about that at times through the week when we're praying to God, that when I was still sinning, you were still putting your perfect plan into place. You sent your son to die this excruciating death for my sins. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Resurrection of Jesus Christ, the first of the first fruits, showing what we long for in that seventh trump to be sounded. Verse 11, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation, the atonement. Think of this reconciliation, it's forgiveness for our sins. When we repent, we turn for those ways and follow God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1. You see this come up quite a bit with this comfort through tribulation and where that comfort comes from. See the love of the Father and the love of the Son and what they've done while we were still even sinners. 2 Corinthians 1. We'll begin in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes these are easy to read over. Don't forget, there's no Trinity. The Holy Spirit is never mentioned as greeting individuals. Not a single epistle. Paul understood perfectly the Trinity is a doctrine of demons. It is not in the Bible. We think of this reminder, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in some of our tribulation. Not what your Bible says either. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Think of that comfort. We can comfort others, to encourage, to help. Same comfort that God gives us. Plan his future, what that reminder is, and what we keep going. It doesn't mean we don't grieve for those that are going through difficulties or family members after they've had a loved one die. A reminder of, can do it. Keep encouraging each other, that comfort that comes from God's word and how precious God's word is. Think of this reminder here, verse, this comfort that again comes from the Father, and that we are to extend it as well. Why we had COVID break out, hit our area so badly. I think back in August when I got hit, I don't know if I fully understood what people went through COVID until I went through it. And when I went through it and someone talks about how weak and exhausted they were, I can fully understand that level of exhaustion. It may be a little different than what I went through, but I remember the days where you just couldn't do anything. That comfort that comes from seeing what others have gone through, you can do it. Some of the most precious individuals in our congregations are our widows. And they understand every time when someone dies in a family, especially when it's the husband, and they can relate to what the lady is going to go through. And they're some of the first ones to see what I can do to help and encourage and keep pointing to God's hope. Does not mean there still wasn't grieving, but the encouragement that comes from those who remember when God helped me get through it this way, and maybe I can help someone else the same way. That comfort that, again, ultimately comes from God, that we are to be expressing in our life and helping and serving. It's interesting when you think about these verses that goes through, ultimately, this comfort from God's word, the comfort from God's plan, comfort from God's love that is there. It comes back to three words that recur over and over: faith, hope, and love. Faith of following God with our whole heart, mind, and soul. That hope of God's plan that we just finished going through those final steps. And the reminder of God's love keeps us bringing that reminder of what he's done in our life. We can have our sins forgiven when we repent. It can be removed as far as east is from west through Christ's sacrifice. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Going through this in a whole section, it's through it on feast, through the seventh day or the last great day. These reminders that are there, Hebrews 10 and verse, so much in this, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Everyone loves, oh, we're new covenant now. Absolutely. Put the laws to be in our hearts and minds. Oh, no, no, the law is thrown in the garbage. We don't need it anymore. No, what the Bible says. Read the Bible. Dig into it. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. God's law show love. Without God's law, you cannot show godly love. It's impossible. Not by my definition, by God's definition, in his word. Verse 17, then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Again, forgiveness and forgetting, removing as far as east is from west. Now where there is remission, where there is forgiveness of these sins, there is no longer an offering for sin. Christ is that perfect offering. Gave himself willingly. Verse 19, therefore, you know I love the therefores, why it's always important to read what comes before it. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Boldness is confidence. What God's word promises. Verse 20, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us, always, every time I say them, there's these three let us statements. No, this is not a salad lettuce. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We know what the future holds. We know what God's plan. It should be brighter than ever in our minds as we've just concluded the last great day several days ago. We finished all the fall festivals and burning brightly in our mind what these days picture, what we long for. in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See again this faith. It has to be there. Believing God and doing what he says. I've mentioned many times, God doesn't say, and you go to keep the Sabbath day holy, and you go to his holy convocation, and you'll never get sick. You go keep the feast, and the promise is there, you'll never get sick. You'll never get COVID. That's not what it says. It says, keep the feast. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Keep his holy convocation. We assemble for services. And unless we're sick, we're under quarantine where we may get others sick. Reminder is, we keep God's days and we trust in him whatever we go through. Think of that faith, verse 23, the second of this, let us hold faith fast the confession of our hope. Hold it fast. It's not, well, yeah, we got a hope. It's like, hold on to it in our mind. I can hardly wait for these days to be fulfilled. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That's why we can have faith in the hope, because God never lies. He didn't, well, you know, I mentioned the seven trumpets of the Feast of Trumpets, but we may only have five. There will be seven. And the seventh one is, we will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. We think of this future that it is absolutely certain, but we have to keep enduring to the end. And this reminder of this hope, God's plan, what we can hardly wait for, and why we have the opportunity to review it every single year, to think about it, to dwell on it. This is our hope. This is what we long for to take place. And the third of these, verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. This love that's there doesn't end here in verse 24. People love, or just, well, stir up love and good works. Yeah. But it doesn't end there. How do we stir up love and good works? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This reminder, today we had to cancel services, not by choice, because we had quarantine laws and isolation to make sure that everyone was out of quarantine, to be healthy when we're back to services, and that nothing else would spread. As we think of being healthy, the point of isolation is not to isolate and quarantine the healthy people. This current disease and this evil disease that's going around, it can be very difficult. Had a couple that were on the Sabbath before trumpets. Then it wasn't until Sunday night when certain symptoms started to hit, tested positive on the day after trumpets. By that point, from what I can see, it looked like maybe 5 to 6 to 7 that were at trumpets may have had it, know it, and were passing it on, and why it spread. And so we think of this importance of the isolation when we know there's symptoms that maybe, just don't feel 100%. I better be safe and not go. We're healthy. We see things are great. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Put that trust in God. And the trust in God is, God says, you'll never get sick. You'll never get a disease. We have people going through cancer. We have people going through all kinds of things in both congregations. We have great desire for them to be healed. We continually pray for it. That time where we can stir up love and good works doesn't say, well, until you're able to call people on a phone, that will be invented in the future. Or you can write them cards, and that's good enough. God's design of the Sabbath day is to get together and to encourage, help each other. Give that encouragement, stir up love and good works. This third reminder, as we think of these faith, hope, and love, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And it's interesting, this would be the perfect time to say, but when end time events start, that's going to be the time you need to let down in this area. God will understand, because the phone will be around, internet, you can encourage others, people in other ways. No. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We'll need to be encouraged more and more as we get closer and closer to end time events. To have that encouragement from brethren of, you can do it, keep at it. How was the week? And here's what they've been going through, and giving that love and stirring up love and good works, and that reminder of what God's word shows. Again, are reminded of how important God's truth shows. Seeing, dropping down to verse 30. Verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine. We read this on trumpets. I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, we had a member that died on Monday. When he stands before God again, he'll be able to say, I went to the Feast of Trumpets, wasn't fearful and stayed home. God's not going to say, oh, well, you know, I didn't think that you would get it. I'm sorry that you died early. God's plan is perfect. Steve Crothwell ran his race. God has that place set aside. Understanding, kept at it, where Steve's going to say, I made it to trumpets. I followed what you wanted me to do. Could have said, well, good time to skip it. Good time to just save my own skin. Think of what God's word shows. There will be tribulation. We go through this time, and as it gets closer, talks about many dying. Well, that can't be the true church because God would protect them. God's saints will be killed because this world, as it progresses worse and worse, led by Satan, will keep going after God's people. This COVID disease is one of those evil ones. Think of this reminder in our life to keep enduring to the end, not give up. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, verse 32, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, this word also translated enlightened, recalled when your eyes were open to God's truth. You endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. It creates that brotherhood of, you're going through the tribulation, so am I, and how did you handle it? Oh, I did this. You just keep putting God first and keep enduring together. And that encouragement that comes from encouraging each other. Verse 34, for you had compassion on me in my chains, Paul talking, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Knowing what our future holds, what we're longing for, what we can hardly wait for, and this reminder of what the future holds. Keep it as that insurance, the assurance of what lies ahead. Verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. Think of God's future, seventh trump sounding, what we long for. This reminder that again, tribulation will be there. Tribulations that again is mentioned in verse 33. And Paul's saying, you had compassion on me in my chains. You went through what I went through in my tribulation. John has a similar statement that he says in Revelation 1 verse 9. It says, I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation. Why we have encouragement as we get together of knowing what we're going through. No one else understands the struggles we go through like others in the church, besides the Father and Jesus Christ. We think of that encouragement of seeing others. How did you stand up against this Christmas? How did you stand up for the Sabbath? How were you going against what the world was doing to you? We think of that as, again, encouragement of what God's word shows. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. Hold your place there. think we've been there, maybe not. Been through these notes several times today. Romans chapter 8. We think of this importance again of being led by God's Holy Spirit in our life. Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Reminded of this often, the Holy Spirit doesn't push God's power in our life, doesn't push and pull. It leads. We have to follow its lead. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We go through the tribulations together. Don't forget, we also go through changing in the twinkling of an eye in the future together. What will that be like? We long for that time. Verse 18, as we keep looking forward, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Doesn't make the sufferings any less significant. We have the funeral tomorrow. We're going to miss Steve. It makes the future look even more exciting, as I can now hardly wait for the seventh trump for another reason, to see him and to see him with no pain. We've seen him for so many years with his back pains, and what will that be like to see him change in a twinkling of an eye? Again, a wonderful future we long for. Dropping down to verse 28, some of these familiar verses we read. But again, to remember, this is the promise from God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And for God's people, God's working his perfect plan for us. We've got to keep enduring, not give up. All things work for good to those who love God, to those that are following his ways, living it. Sin, we repent. We draw close to God. We see dropping down to verse 31. Usually read these, especially getting back from the feast. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, you can stop right there. If God is for us, who can be against us? Absolutely no one. They can take our lives. They can do whatever they want. But God is for us. Even if we lose our life, it's the physical life. God will resurrect us at the seventh trump. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Think of these four principles. Again, Satan is the one who condemns us before God every day, day and night, as Revelation talks about. We also condemn ourselves. Well, God won't totally remove that sin. Repented of a sin, God removes it as far as east is from west. You've got to keep going in that path to not go back. Well, you know, I'm still living under that what I've done. God's removed it. Continue on. Don't keep condemning ourselves. Who is he who condemns? We think of it as Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Think of these promises that are there, four of them. Why this relationship is so strong with God. And this love that they both have for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, the first thing listed. This again, back to the parable of the sower. As soon as tribulation and trials came, I'm done. I'm not going to follow God if it means I have to go through that tribulation. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Any disease you can put in there, COVID, Will anything separate us from the love of Christ? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. This attitude that reminds us we don't get even or strike back. Tough one. Think of even Joseph going through that reminder, telling him, brothers, I'm not in the place of God. God's the one who judges. Repent. Brothers concerned that he would go after them after his father died. Think of this reminder here. Don't strike back. We put it in God's hand. God is the perfect just judge. He's the one who will bring true justice. Verse 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Keeps coming back to God's love for us and how deep it is, how he's not going to give up on us. No matter what we go through, we have to keep enduring to the end. Through him who loved us, verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. No matter what we go through, we have to keep enduring, keep at it to not give up. Think of this importance, again, of being led by God's Holy Spirit in our life. Follow God's power in our life. Never back down. Turn back to, or forward to Romans chapter 12. Another one of those chapters that's so encouraging. So much in this whole chapter. Went through a series of sermons on this chapter alone. And being living sacrifices. So why I hate is that Protestant hymn song out there, Take My Life. What's the verse that says, Take My Life? Verses talk about giving your life to God, dedicating your life to God, submitting. Some of these Protestant things, and people, oh, I just love that song. Well, the important thing is, does God love the song? Is it in Scripture? Are we following what God's word shows? When things don't sound right, dig into it. Searching that up yesterday, well, where's that phrase, take my life? It's not in there with God. But give our life, dedicate it, submit to God. Sorry, off topic, sort of. Living sacrifice, we're to be dedicating our life, asking God to take my life, or to give our life, a living sacrifice. Just think of even in verse 3 through 8, serve God where he places us. Serve God where he places us. Verse 9, behaving like a Christian, pointing to God's word. See in verse 9 here, we'll begin Romans 12 and verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy, not a show. Abhor what is evil. Well, that's kind of harsh. Oh, we just need to accept them, don't make them feel bad. When we see evil in this world, we abhor it. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. We don't want evil to creep into our life. Well, we'll permit it. It's not that big a deal. No, cling to what is good. Abhor what is evil. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Here again is this word tribulation and this patient. Enduring, another translation has. Enduring in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Knowing who we talk to. Asking for his help always. Deliver us from this as we go through it. Think of these reminders to this entire chapter. And what we're to be overcoming. Christ again mentions, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Word overcome occurs throughout the New Testament and is the one that occurs for each of the seven church eras. All of them apply to us. So are we living? Each one of them overcome. Keep coming out of the world and follow God's ways in our life. This word overcome, it was back in John 16:33. We'll see it here as well at the end of this chapter. It's a Greek word Strong's number 3528. The word overcome means to be victorious, to prevail, to overcome, to conquer. Think of this enduring to the end. It's victorious, prevail, overcome, conquer. Or when Christ says, I have overcome the world, he did it perfectly. Think of that promise is there. We're to be overcomers as well. Think as it goes through this whole section, dropping down to verse 21, two times this word occurs. Do not be overcome by evil. And it is all around. With COVID, everything else we see in this world is getting worse and worse. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with revenge. We'll get even with them. Not what yours says either, but overcome evil with good. Doing God's way. And it doesn't mean, well, and they'll never treat you poorly. Well, they'll get even with you and, well, God, take care of it. I pray that something happens wronging me that God help them to repent. Help me to be an example of what Christ did. And it's not easy at times. But I'd like to get even with them. I'd like to show them I'm right. No, we point to God. But overcome evil with good. Two times that we see it here in verse 21. And how important this overcoming is. How important this reminder. How we're to care for others. Look out for each other. Turn over to James chapter 1. James. Especially at this time, it's a good verse to be reminded of. James 1 and verse 27. James 1 verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble. The word trouble is that same word we've been looking at. In their tribulation. Of when a wife loses her husband. And all that she goes through. We're looking out for each other. Are we caring to visit orphans and widows in their trouble? And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Keep overcoming. To keep at it. To not give up. We think of this importance in those verses that again remind us of our future. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because I love even how this ends. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18. Therefore, that word, comfort one another with these words. You got to read them. Well, we read them on trumpet, so we'll skip to the next verse. No way. Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Have true godly hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. We talk about a reward we can hardly wait for. We have to keep enduring. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. It does not mean we still don't mourn during difficult times. But there's the comfort of, we will see him. Still one of the most hopeless things that I still hear in this world of, well, you know, God just took the person. He wanted him up in heaven. That's the God you serve? That sounds like Satan. Satan just plucking people out, taking them out of families. No, we have a bright future. We know what God's calling is. Satan and his death of this world and of time where we long for when that will all be removed. Think of the comfort of what will take place at that seventh trump. We long for those verses to be fulfilled. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. Held a bookmark there. 1 John chapter 3. A few verses I kind of skipped over to bring back this point. 1 John 3 verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. That love, what all of God's laws point to, filling what true godly love is. Verse 24, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. It's through God's commandments. He abides in us and us in him. We're living his laws. We're trying to practice it, put it into our life. Chapter 4 shouldn't be a chapter break here. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Make sure we're testing the spirits. Testing, well, what are the fruits? Christ talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. You shall know them by their fruits. Verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. You know, there's so many that profess Christ. But those who truly believe in the Trinity do not believe he came in the flesh. He's part of a three-headed God, and you can't really come separate one from the other, and he comes down, becomes flesh. No, he was still God. He was still spirit. He wasn't really flesh. A lie. Not what the Scripture says. So you start taking doctrines of demons and trying to push God's truth into it, and you come out with more error. And Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Those who believe it are God's people. Verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. John talks about it at that point. Talk about it even more so now. How much this has spread, these false doctrine of demons. Verse 4, gets back to this encouragement. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I always think of Elisha, servant coming and saying, well, we don't outnumber them. Elisha's like, show him, God. Open his eyes. And sees the mountain full of chariots and horses. Those that are with us, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Think again of God's love for us, what he longs for. Think we look forward to the seventh trump sounding. What does God the Father and Jesus Christ? Do you picture just the excitement? Can hardly wait for this time. As they see individual after individual, saint after saint, die in the faith, and how important that reminder is in our life. I have to turn there. It's been a great verse to have memorized, Psalm 116, verse 15. Psalm 116, verse 15, I typically read it at every member's funeral. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Another individual sealed, and hardly wait for that seventh trump. Precious to God. Understanding what God's plan holds and that comfort that is there. Think of 1 Corinthians. You can put in your notes again, chapter. Let's turn there. What else we got to do today? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. One of those things I hated when, I had to cut the sermon short. I had to take some verses out. That's the thing you don't want to take out. 1 Corinthians 15. We went through a lot of this on the Feast of Trumpets as well. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most miserable. We're the most miserable. If this is all there is, This is all we look forward to. There's no seventh Trump. We're just trying to save our own flesh and blood. Not going to happen. Think of how miserable that kind of future is. Dropping down to verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Another verse that reminds us we're not in heaven when we die. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In a future we long for that seventh trump to sound. We think of this future and what we long for and what God's plan continually shows. Praying as we go through trials and tribulations that we continue to learn patience as we go through it. Sometimes they can be difficult going through things that we see all around us. God, again, being with us every step of the way. We have almost 7 months until Passover. What goals will you set for yourself? Reminders will we have? You know, what will we accomplish? It's so easy to just sit in front of the TV, and yet, read a little bit more of the Bible. And we dig into certain scriptures. You know, we think of those basic elements of prayer, Bible study, meditation, and fasting, and yet there's nothing basic about it. It's the lifeblood. It's what we're living. Think of prayer, talking to God, sharing what's on our mind, and thinking he knows what we're going through, but to hear, my child talking to me and sharing what he's going through, and I'm listening, and I care deeply for them. That prayer, increasing in it, making sure we don't let a day go by without it. Think of Daniel's great example. As his custom was, he prayed 3 times a day. Think of Bible study, God talking back to us through his word, digging into it, learning from it. Meditation, the weird garbage of this world, but what meditation, thinking deeply. We're digging into the Bible and you think of thinking of it through the day. Am I applying that in my life? How am I living it? How am I putting this into my life? To think deeply on God's word, what true meditation should be. And fasting, hopefully again, the next time we fast will not be next atonement. Setting time aside to draw close to God. Having a time that we set aside to draw closer, to have more prayer and Bible study and meditation in that fasting day. We think of this importance, turn back to John 16. We started here, one other verse before we end here. We think of this reminder and all that goes with it. I started just digging into this verse again and just thinking, this is just moments before his death or before his betrayal and what he would go through into the next day in less than 24 hours before he would die. And yet, here's what this encouragement is. John 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Why, again, Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 2, we find it of that perfect example of Jesus Christ. First of the first fruits. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Knowing that when we do slip up, go to God and ask for our sins to be forgiven, it's through Christ's sacrifice and overcoming the world, never sinning once, that perfect sacrifice, when we repent, sin is removed as far as east is from west. Even though in the world we will have tribulation, it is a certainty, but we look the coming world and what that holds and how much we long for it. Turn finally over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Another great section of scriptures. 2 Peter 3. Read verses 8 through 9. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You know, sometimes we use this to remind ourselves of prophecy. Think of this section here. This reminds us God's timing is not our timing. We read verses that Christ is coming soon. Well, how many years? It hasn't even been 2 days since those verses were talked about. Of Acts chapter 2, 31 AD, to God, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day is 1,000 years. It hasn't even been 2 days on God's timing. It, us, it's like, wow, how is that hard to even comprehend? But it does remind us God's timing is not our timing. Don't give up on God and think, well, he hasn't answered my prayer. He hasn't done this. I'm still going through this. God's timing is different than ours. Don't give up on God. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And it is a promise, as some count slackness, for he is long-suffering toward us. I am so thankful for that. We think of things that we mess up with. We still make mistakes. Thanks for still sticking through it. Think of God's long-suffering toward us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Think of God's perseverance to keep it. Come on, you can do it. Don't give up. And some who've left through the years. I think God's like, oh, well, there has been. Oh, come back, repent, follow me. That encouragement that again comes from God's word. You think of that importance of that comfort. As we are in this world, and tribulation is occurring. It seems to be on an uprise. It seems to be increasing. Whether that will continue through this next year, as we get closer to end time events, or not, we pray again and trust in God always. We can be very discouraged during this time if we aren't careful. Satan is coming at us. Never forget who we're fighting against. Ephesians 6, it reminds us to put on the whole armor of God. Oh, that Satan is always getting the next tactical warfare in his arsenal, ready to see what can I take out Sean with this year. We have 7 long months before Passover. We begin again to review God's plan and right, set goals. Make sure, all right, God, help me not to get distracted by the things in this world. Help me to keep strong in your ways. Help me to keep at it, to not give up. Not let a root of bitterness creep in. Help me to keep following you no matter what. We think of these reminders in our life. How is our faith? We have to trust God and do what he says. That trust, putting it into God's hands always. Where is our hope? God's perfect plan that reminds us of that perfect hope we all long for. Where is our love? True godly love is following Christ's perfect example, keeping the commandments and loving the brethren, caring for each other, encouraging each other at services, giving that encouragement that we all desperately need, especially as we get closer to end time events. Let's be comforted through tribulations. As we continue to put God first, let's continue to keep God's perfect plan for us and all mankind firmly placed in our minds, never forgetting as we look forward. And let's keep looking forward, trusting in God always.